Hello, and welcome to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast, hosted by myself, Ines McNeil, founder of themoderndogtrainer.net, where you'll find articles, downloads, courses, and coaching on the best practices for modern pet businesses. Be sure to add this podcast to your favorite listening list on Spotify or iTunes, and join our free discussion group on Facebook called Business Support by the Modern Dog Trainer. Welcome to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast. My name is Ines McNeil, and today I have a good friend and trainer, Marcella Ward, with me to talk about dog sports, really, a little bit, and how she's kind of gotten into those, and is going to share some tips for those that are curious about how those work. I personally have never been in dog sports, but I have been very, very close to joining. And I hope to join some in the future. So I look forward to learning about your experience with them. Let's start out by just letting everybody know a little bit about you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So hi, everyone. I'm Marcella. I am 28 currently. I live in Houston, Texas, and I have two border collies and a guinea pig. And I started training, I've always had dogs with me in my life. But I started professionally training probably about 10 years ago is when I started really wanting to, you know, work on training and getting into the dog sports. I've been in dog sports almost 14 years now. Wow. That started with my first dog.
Awesome. Awesome. So what sports have you participated in?
Well, agility has been our main sport of choice, always has. That one has my heart. But we've dabbled and earned titles or legs in dock diving. We've worked in Frisbee. We've done rally, some barn hunts, a little bit of fly ball. So we've kind of just, you know, dabbled in a little bit of everything to see what the dogs really enjoy. And we're actually starting herding soon.
Oh, that's so exciting. I took Clark to see what his herding skills might be like a few years ago. And unfortunately, it was, you know, a long drive, and so we weren't able to keep it up. But it is so amazing to see the dogs use like their natural instincts to navigate that situation. Okay, so that's a lot of sports. That's really awesome. How did you initially get into that?
Well, when I first got my original dog, my heart dog Shimmer, I really wanted to do sports with some dog. And, you know, I thought, well, let's see what she likes. She was never really a toy dog. So I said, okay, Frisbee, it's not your thing. But we decided to try two flower pots turned over and a broomstick in the backyard. And agility was her jam. So we went with it. And that's really how we got started.
That's awesome. Let's see. How do you find a good sports club? I think that it can be challenging to find an atmosphere that you're, you know, you feel welcome in and not feel like an outsider in. So, like, how do you find a good sports club that you can participate in?
That's a really loaded and good question, actually. So, I mean, I started out with, you know, I started out just going to my first agility trial. Shimmer and I just entered a jumpers run, and I didn't really know anyone there, but everyone was very welcoming in the environment, and so it was really, really nice. I can say, you know, certainly asking someone who has been in dog sports for a while helps, because a lot of us are, you know, it's a tight-knit community. We know each other, and, you know, my hopefully to be herding instructor that we're seeing for the first time this weekend, you know, I learned about her from my agility instructor. So it's really just kind of a network of connections. If you're interested in dog sports, talk to someone who's doing your sport of choice or even just any sport and see if they have some connections, because that's really the way to start.
Awesome. How does AKC trialing work and titles work and all of that? Obviously it's on their website, but I have not taken the time to really dive into that yet. And it's a little overwhelming as somebody that's never been in dog sports. There's just all kinds of terminology and stuff that you're not familiar with. So can you give us like a high level overview of what that entails?
Sure. So it's interesting. Actually, I've talked with my mom about it before, and she's mentioned that the titling, at least for agility, You know, it sounds like rocket science to her. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, it does sound like rocket science if you're not part of it. And I can tell you, I have friends who participate in confirmation with their dogs. I have had my confirmation friends explain to me numerous times how confirmation titles work. I still struggle with it because it's not my sport of choice. But, you know, with the agility titles and most titles in general, most performance titles, the basics are you start out in novice and you move yourself up to master or excellent. Mm-hmm. And usually you have to get three qualifying legs, mm-hmm. In order to move up to your next level. Sometimes in the higher titles, you need like 10 legs under a certain amount of judges. And I think it's more just to make sure that you're being judged under impartial judges, not just that you're going to a bunch of shows where you know the person or, you know that there's a certain type of advantage. I mean, certainly there's strategy in that. You want to run under judges whose courses you enjoy and whose courses flow well for your dog. But you also want to make sure that you're being challenged adequately.
Wow. How do you find that out? Like, how do you know how a particular judge designs a course or not?
Experience first and foremost, you know, going to the trial and seeing what their courses are like. But there are actually Facebook groups online. There are Facebook groups that have kind of a judge's review. And so different people are able to ask, you know, hey, what kind of courses does this judge design? Because, you know, they're all held to a certain standard. They all have to follow certain rules that are set forth by AKC or whichever judging organization they work for. But they all have their own flair or their certain challenges they like to, you know, put in. You know, some prefer longer strides, some prefer to design courses with more turns, you know, and it may also be biased depending on what kind of dog they run or what kind of breeds they have and what courses their dogs like. Mm. You can ask in that group, hey, you know, is so-and-so judge, how do they, you know, how are their courses running? Do you find that their approaches are safe? Do you enjoy that their courses flow? Are they choppy? You know, are they kind to their ring crew? Do they move things along nicely during the day? How are they, you know, with novice dogs? Are they patient? Are they helpful? So those are really good things to know.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love Facebook for that because there's always a group for that. Instead of an app for that, there's a group for that. Awesome. So you mentioned you've had a variety of dogs that you've owned, different kinds of dogs. And even within dogs of the same breed, you've noticed differences. So can you tell us a little bit about how you determine which dog is going to like which sport and, you know, get them involved in that?
Well, with Shimmer originally, I think it was really finding what worked for her because, you know, she was my guinea pig, and I am forever thankful for her. You know, she really kind of just tried almost anything, sans toy, as long as it was, you know, involved food and she was getting paid. But, you know, as we built our bond, she started getting more willing to try different things. You know, I mean, fly ball was never going to really be her thing because she didn't really care for a tennis ball. But she, you know, after agility, she went into rally and, you know, did a little bit of nose work too and lure coursing. So I think it's finding what your dog enjoys. You know, and there are certainly dogs who, you know, go outside of their, you know, breed and do sports that may not seem, you know, like the kind of sport that the dog would excel at. You know, I know some border collies who are doing, you know, a lot of terrier trials and, you know, nose work, barn hunt, you know, but find what your dog likes, because with Ven, I knew I wanted an agility dog, but I've also discovered, you know, he really likes toys and Frisbee, so we started doing some Frisbee, and, you know, if I was in the fly ball world more, I'd probably do fly ball with him too. Mm. With the puppy, I kind of just said, you know, we'll do whatever she enjoys, whatever brings her happiness. So we're dabbling in a little bit of everything. And that's somewhere where I kind of struggle a little. I wish I had a little more self-control because I want to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough time for that.
Yeah, for sure. Any early signs of what she's showing interest in the most?
Definitely herding. You know, her parents have both worked stock. And she is very keen, and she's got some siblings actually that have already started. And then of course she loves Frisbee. So, you know, we've started playing Frisbee toss and fetch league.
Yeah.
So we're doing that pretty much every weekend, and she's really enjoying that. She's done her first up dog competition, which she really had a good time with. She loves tennis balls, but I'm not sure how fly ball would work for her. I think it would be a little overwhelming in the beginning for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we'll start agility soon. She's seen a jump a couple of times, but she's only, you know, almost 12 months. So I've decided to kind of just let her grow and, you know, let her develop before we really get into the nitty gritty of agility obstacles.
Yeah. What are some tips you might have for somebody that's just getting into dog sports?
Well, certainly, you know, take it one step at a time. You know, you see all these people that are running their dogs and doing really well. And unfortunately, you know, it's hard. You see that success and that, you know, those people that are qualifying and, you know, and it can be frustrating at first when you step into the ring and your dog, Shimmer, zooms all over the ring and, you know, is all over the place acting like you've just given them a big shot of cocaine or something and they're just all over the place. And you're like, I don't know this dog. but, you know, yeah, I promise we've trained. And so that can be really difficult, but I think she, you know, you want to kind of be realistic that your first couple of runs are probably going to be difficult. You know, it'll probably take time for your dog to focus, you know, not struggle with all the distractions of the environment. But those are things you can train at home too. You can start out, you know, before a puppy, like my puppy right now, is old enough to really compete. Work on distraction work, work in different environments, bring them to dog shows. You can still bring them, mm-hmm. work them in that environment and make sure they understand that it's just another environment.
Mm. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I think that's really, really important. What is like the one tip you wish you had known when you were first starting out?
Oh, the one tip. If you have the ability to go to class consistently, go to class consistently. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunately something I didn't really get to do with Shimmer due to finances and not having a car at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so we just kind of were winging it. We would practice whenever we got a chance to practice at the field. And other than that, it was like, all right, go ahead into the lion's den, figure it out. And I mean, really, she was phenomenal because she did. Honestly, yeah. I don't know how she managed, but she was an exceptional dog. She did it all.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a sweetie. Okay, and then what are some common mistakes that you see newbies make?
You know, of course, getting frustrated with their dogs, assuming that their dog is going to, you know, just go into an environment that's very exciting, full of barking dogs, and expecting their dog to do it perfectly like they do at class. That's, you know, you can prep. And certainly there are, you know, if you've done agility for years and, you know, this isn't your novice A dog, you know, you may have some more success there. But it can be difficult. And so, you know, with most in agility, what I see people struggling with is, you know, trying to figure out how to keep an eye on their dog and stay connected, but also looking forward to where they're going and kind of doing the crosses and, you know, kind of having that fluency to the run to make it not as choppy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing I learned from one of my mentors is kind of like being able to direct your dog with just, you know, either hand signals or words and not necessarily being there like step in step with them through the whole course, right? Is letting them learn those transitions, even off the course. That stuff you can really practice at home, you know, your left and your rights and all of that. So that's really, really
awesome,
exciting stuff. I love seeing when people do that on the agility field. It's really smooth.
It's kind of similar, you know, to dog training in general. You know, run with a quiet body, very quiet.
Yes.
Try to be, you know, as concise as possible. Leave all the arm waving out of it. And
yeah.
I always run around like I'm flailing and, you know, barely figuring out what I'm doing. So I admire my dogs for putting up with me.
Awesome. And then my last question that I love asking everybody this season is, if there was one thing you could change or improve in the dog training industry, what would that be?
I think for me, it would be the regulation of the industry. You know, that unfortunately so many people call themselves dog trainers and, you know, there's dogs that are struggling because, you know, people aren't being very kind. And so I think it's, you know, we as trainers have to hold ourselves to a higher standard and hold our colleagues to a higher standard. You know, we're here to improve the lives of dogs and their owners. And just like any profession, there have to be regulations or it doesn't really mean anything.
Awesome. Yeah. That's very important. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today and educating us a little bit more about how all of those dog sports work. Hopefully after this pandemic, we will be able to participate a little bit more in that. And have you been able to continue dog sports despite the pandemic, or how has that worked?
So I know that there are some sports that are still running. With Frisbee League, what's nice is that we're outdoors. And so everyone's distanced. You know, you can crate out of your car if you want to. And so it's really nice to be able to, and I think that's kind of why I've started with Frisbee League, because, you know, we've had the chance to, you know, be safe about it. Certainly right now I don't feel comfortable going into a building for any sort of dog sports, you know, unless there are really serious precautions and things are limited. But I think it just depends. I know lure coursing is still happening because that happens outside. You know, I know fly ball can sometimes, you know, at least fly ball practice can happen outside. So I think it just depends on the sport kind of. With everything during this time in the pandemic is, you know, weighing the ups and downs of, you know, what kind of risk factor you're at, what kind of, you know, what kind of things you're wanting to do with your dog and, you know, how can you swing it and figure it out?
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I think it'll be really insightful for a lot of people that are looking to get into dog sports. I know that a lot of trainers start out, you know, just working with pet dogs and then really get curious about how the whole dog sport industry works as well. So thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you again for listening to the Modern Dog Trainer Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast in December of 2020, I have good news. The Modern Dog Trainer Academy is now enrolling. This is a 12-week program with live coaching. This program will guide you through the best practices for a modern-day dog business that suits your ideal lifestyle, income goals, and impact level. This is ideal for professional dog trainers that are making $1,000 or more from your dog training business currently, but want to make six figures. If you're interested in joining us, go to moderndogbusiness.com/academy. We'd love to have you.